We're going live at the Intel Scanner on mtradio.net. Broadcasting an emergency broadcast from behind enemy lines. FEMA Region 8. This is the Intel Scanner. Live from the Lanuk Technology Building, nestled deeply in the heart of the Total Wreck and Puppet Master Publishing.
And here we go.
We bring to you the Intel Scanner. Thanks for tuning in tonight.
You're sitting and talking with a total wreck.
Well, it seems like the world's in a total wreck these days.
Yeah, it's a lot to talk about tonight. I don't really have a topic to talk about. There is. I don't even know where to start.
Where to begin?
The Ukraine is going crazy.
Blowing up over there, literally.
Who's blowing up?
You're talking about the Olympics?
Well, I found out more today what that's really about.
What is that about?
And it turns out that the government of Ukraine is ran by literally like 7 or 8 billionaires and their families. Ultra mega billionaires. That's their whole entire structure is this. Just a handful of billionaires. And these people are absolutely pissed. They're spending all their money on extravagant soccer teams and extravagant huge lockdown palaces outside of the cities. And the people are pissed. Like, you know, there's no economy, there's nothing except for upper middle class and rich.
The first time that this has happened to the Ukrainian people. Such oppression is familiar to them.
Well, they were supposed to go into the EU, and now they're pissed because they're going back towards Russia. That's why they tore down the statue of Lenin in December, because the billionaires, the oligarchs, are going back to side with Russia rather than go into the EU. And that's what I found.
I mean, there is a lot of stuff in the news about it. They're saying they're more divided than ever over there, although it seems like I'm witnessing more unity than ever over there.
We were watching some video the other night of the live processing. Man, that was some serious.
They're not stopping. They must be really in such a desperate time that they just can't not riot. They have to. When men put their children to bed hungry, this is when riots happen. Because these men will unite. If everyone's putting their... If you can't feed your kids, if the poverty is that extreme...
I haven't seen a lot of media coverage on it, but the one video I did see was to watch these people beat the police. And it was like the first one of those that I had seen in, I think my entire time on the internet. Like, look at how brutally these police were beat during this riot. And it was a small video of like some police in the bottom of a stairwell where they kind of got cornered by, you know, like the dudes, the stormtroopers in the riot gear got cornered by a couple of farmers with pitchforks.
Pitchfork rebellion.
Pitchforks and torches.
A little bit, and it's been mostly the police kicking the shit out of the peasants.
Well, yeah, and but I mean, as far as media coverage, I haven't seen. You see a little bit leaking through, but you don't see, you know.
There's quite
on,
no.
You don't see it on Fox News, like.
No. There's live coverage on YouTube. Oh, we watched it the other night.
It was
all out
palace.
Fighting in the streets, was it not? I mean, that was.
Oh, yeah. So fires burning. Molotov's going off.
It seems like it was a tug of war. It would go back across like this two blocks. It has a guy like on a third story of a hotel videotaping it. And you're watching the riot police come this way and push the people back. And the people come right and get back together and push the riot police back. And it's pretty wild.
There's not enough football pads and baseball bats to go around, apparently, to fight against the riot police.
There's not.
They're selling out on shields.
This just in. The riot police have more gear than the peasants, apparently.
They're lucky they're just not getting mowed down, because you know that's what the billionaires want to do.
Well, if you open Walmart right there with the sporting goods section, I mean... Absolutely. We're freely sharing and partaking in the goods
really
of the earth.
And, you know, cutting down the civilian casualties, I think, and getting shot is less likely if you're on videotape.
I mean, it depends on where you're at. It depends on where you're at. Police have justifiable killings every day.
I think you guys posted it, actually. If you see something, say something. When they hit the dude with the car at 30 miles an hour and then jumped out and proceeded to hit him with the nightstick, like, it didn't really look
Robert
Leon
was
really necessary. Yeah, when he got Like, the guy didn't even slow down when he hit him with the cruiser. I mean, that was...
Suicide by police?
Well, I guess, you know, that's always an option.
Yeah, if you missed our police brutality show, that was one of my favorites. But we talked about a case, Robert Leone, and that was pretty intense. I didn't know there was so much police brutality at that point.
That is the news still.
I'm interested still in this thought week. Process behind the person that, you know, is going to put on the stormtrooper, you know, outfit, like the kind of anonymity idea. Like, why would you want to be that kind of person? You
know, power over others. It's always.
But I mean, a faceless power. I mean, it seems like. Most power-hungry people are kind of narcissistic, it seems to me. What kind of drone mentality does it take to...
Get to enjoy rape and murder and torture, all state-sponsored. Why not?
Yeah, yeah. Then you don't got to bear your own face to it, you know?
Exactly.
You don't got to carry the shame in your own life.
That's exactly why. Good point. Exactly.
Well, that seems like a rampant proliferation of sociopathy.
It seems that they're recruiting sociopaths to fill these positions. That's the whole problem with the system proliferating within itself, because they are recruiting only sociopaths and getting rid of the good people that would actually, you know, because we like to say there are good people in government. Government may be bad, and we like to say there still is good people in government, but when it all comes into practice, those quote-unquote good people get weeded out of the government is really how it goes. And then they want, you know, either, you know, willing minions, or they want duped, useful idiots.
Well, exactly. They continue to put...
narcissists.
Well, more and more light-minded...
bureaucratic regulations.
Narcissists.
Yes.
They systematically weed out anyone who's going to try to...
Therefore, building a Borg mind that you're talking about of all those like minds.
I read something, I can't remember who said it, I posted it to your Facebook a while back, but it was something... Oh, excuse me, I didn't silence my phone before.
Forgive the beeping and twirling of the... pixie dust fairy that just flittered into the room.
No, I posted to your Facebook... something along the lines of that there will come the final revolution, this idea of pharmacological and psychological brainwashing of the masses to where they won't want to rebel because they'll be so dull and pacified in their everyday propaganda, you know, through media and
pharmacology. Oh, absolutely. Pharmacology. Aldous Huxley wrote of the same thing. The tearless slaves that willingly do the bidding of their masters without any kind of revolution or thought of revolt through pharmacological and chemical and...
There's been the TED Talks lately that have discussed...
frequencies and things like that. Go ahead.
No, I did see this discussion recently about mimetic ideas and the concept of, excuse me, I stuttered as soon as my phone sent me a text. It's weird how that interrupts your thought process. But mimetic ideas and how that has developed through evolution and how at one point in our evolution, you know, like on the grass plains of the savannah, this may have been a useful thing. But this herd-like mentality, this kind of pack-like mentality. But as we get older, or as we get older as a civilization and as a species, as we evolve, we become more reliant on, you know, questioning and challenging ideas on things that may have been acceptable patterns of behavior in the past to save us from, say, you know, getting eaten by a large predator, become not beneficial behaviors in society.
Yeah, the situation changes around you. You can't keep going off of these old habits.
That's where the humanity's ability to adapt and overcome those changes, I think, are what set us apart from the animals. We all agree to that. We are set apart from the animals for the most part. I mean, we at least have our self-acknowledging awareness of our own existence and finality of our mortality. Whereas no other animal on the planet really has...
That's one of the few things
about
that separates us, is understanding
of that, you know. So at the same time, we have more cruelty in our nature than any animal. I mean, other than
I would venture to
survival,
say that we're the only
that's,
animal
that's our
that
survival
that is capable
instinct.
Of cruelty.
And so that cruelty comes out of our survival instinct, or out of our realization of our own existence.
I would venture to say that we are the only animal on the planet capable of cruelty. A human or a shark can eat, you know, anything.
But he's just hungry. That's all that
cruel.
Is.
That's not cruel.
He's just hungry.
But if a shark was to... Your turn. If a shark was to, you know, say, climb up on land and bite your leg off and then mock you and take your leg out to sea and occasionally come wave it at you, that's pretty cruel. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see a lot of animals doing anything cruel behavior. I see them killing each other, but that's
we're on the air right now. Cruel.
Whereas
we're on the air
by nature, almost cruel.
Oh, we got a call coming in. I don't know if this is
no,
we haven't given out the number. I don't think this isn't.
Call in.
All right. Yeah.
Bring them up. Let's see what they got to say.
No, I think I know who this is.
It's not the caller we thought it was.
Not the caller we thought it was.
If you do want to call in.
How are you doing, man?
We are taking call-ins tonight. If you have anything to say.
We haven't called the number yet, so I know that wasn't.
We're calling out to all military and ex-military. If you're a police officer, call in. Give us a take on what you think about anything in the whole wide world. If you're a TSA officer, if you work for the FBI, the CIA, if you work for any alphabet company, give us a call at 406-694-7150. We take calls at the Intel scanner.
You're supposed to be kidding.
Lick of sweet velvet. Brought to you by Jameson and Crown Royal and Jim Beam was bought out by a Japanese company, so we're technically boycotting Jim Beam this year. And Maker's Mark and any other whiskey maker.
My best friend has just started drinking.
Jim Beam was owned by the Beam family since their inception. And now, just this year, sold out to a Japanese company. Not that I'm against Japanese or anything, but I'm pro-American, let's just say that.
You know who's anti-American? Japanese.
The Japanese really do not like America.
No, I say that as a personal
but they
experience.
But they do.
No, I had a friend that was a missionary who went to Japan, and he said, like, unless you understand Japanese language, like, just don't.
Well, actually,
because they have mastered the ability to smile to your face and be a very cordial seeming in mannerisms and in their body.
Their societal
language.
Propriety.
But the things that they're saying are like, you dog.
Epic.
Yeah. they've held a grudge against. The white people for
you know,
they held like,
since before I, we I, bombed them.
That, I, oh wait, like way in, 16, in the 1600s, and 1700s, they would make us sail around that whole island.
It's probably why they got bombed.
No, that is there was huge vendettas
held against
Japan.
They refused commerce with everyone else
in the
world.
For like 200 years.
Yeah.
They refused the British.
But
they refused
you're
white
talking,
people.
You're talking about a generally
West
xenophobic
Indian trade company could not crack that nut.
Japan.
You're talking about sailing, though, in boats. The Japanese had the largest and most dominant naval force on the planet.
Well, look how much coastline
years.
They have.
For
they,
three,
have, they better have.
Oh,
300 years. 300 years, the most dominant navy on the planet. At one point, an emperor of Japan sent his largest fleet down the river, not on the coastal side, but on the continental side.
Mm.
And he sent one of his largest fleets up there to see all these indigenous and, you know, like, what is that called? Secretarian or like the little sects of people that were up there that weren't actually
all the clans.
Yeah, they were there. They were yeah. They were Laotian Chinese and all sorts of you know of those types of people. I'm not familiar with all of them, but anyway, he sent his whole fleet up there, and every person that saw them had the option of you know either being sacked or you know giving a offering up to them, and he took all their offerings and everything that he felt that they had to offer. And as far as he felt that he needed to venture into the world, and when this fleet came back with all these offerings and gifts, he said, destroy the fleet. Other than the Imperial Naval Fleet, nobody can own a boat larger than a canoe. There is nothing that our civilization needs to gain from the outside civilizations. And since then, they've been entirely xenophobic people. They don't want any outside influence from
anyone. They had the longest running monarchy at 700 years. It ended with Hirohito.
Yeah. With no revolutions. There was like no revolutions.
No, 700 years, that's the longest running. Yeah. There's no
Seems
white culture
like people
stood.
Were happy.
Yeah, they are uniquely xenophobic people. Though. I mean, they do not require
not uniquely. I mean, there's
well when you all well when your people all look exactly the same, Literally. I mean, they're all the same height, pretty much. They all have the same hair color, same eye. They're all more or less the same looking.
It was that guy right there.
It's a lot easier to be a communist when everybody looks the same. That's why.
Yeah, they all look alike to me, too.
No. I would say it's that evidence for genetic.
Are we on the air?
I don't want to sound racist or anything, followed by insert uniquely racist statement.
I've seen
I didn't need it to sound great.
Well, fucking anti-Semitic.
We're going to get a call.
If you're Japanese, give us a call. 406-694-7154.
If you're dressed like you were in Reservoir Dogs, but we're never in Reservoir Dogs.
If you're from the Southern Poverty Law Center, feel free to call in. We want to hear from you. We're excited.
If you like plastic being put into your bread products.
What country does LG come from? What is LG? It's Taiwan? Or no,
life's good.
LG.
It might be Taiwan.
No, they're owned by GE.
It's Korea.
They're owned by GE.
It's a South Korean company based.
And from what they're bought out. They're bought out already.
Damn near America. Like I met a South Korean guy who came over here. He's like, you know, we do really well. We have a dollar. It's not the American dollar, but it's basically the fucking American dollar. He's like, there's McDonald's everywhere. South Korea is fine. He's like, you just don't cross that line.
That's why we went to war with North Korea, so we could have South Korea and Americanize it.
Is that why?
We did that.
Get a bunch of bases there. Get some McDonald's popped up.
Oh, there's McDonald's in Iraq. There's a McDonald's in Kuwait now.
Oh, there's a bunch of them. there's been.
It's where the most bombed.
I don't know how many McDonald's are in Afghanistan yet, but I'm sure there will be. There's plans and designs.
I'm sure there is on the bases. I'm sure there's a couple birds.
We don't plant a flag in the ground anymore. We plant a McDonald's.
It's kind of
the same thing.
Well, my buddy was telling me in the green zone in Iraq.
McDonald's on the moon.
They bring in foreigners from like the Philippines and Vietnam to work it. The American fast food restaurants inside the green zone in the bases in Iraq. I can't verify that because I was never there, but that's what I was told. So, I mean, it really does give a lot of jobs.
It wouldn't be me. I mean, shoot, yeah. Corporations do create jobs.
I saw a really amazing documentary, if anybody's listening, and to you guys that are sitting here, if you have the time, you've got 2 hours to blow. It's called The Act of Killing. And the dude who did... I can't remember the documentary. One of the guys that did Grizzly Man, and another really famous documentarian. He did a really big one, bigger than Grizzly Man, but everybody
the
loves Grizzly Man.
The Act of Killing?
Yeah. Aronofsky, you know, that's the pie guy.
Darren Aronofsky.
It is Aronofsky. He did this. He went to Indonesia, and he was talking with this guy. Oh, I want to remember his name, and now that I feel like a million people are listening to me, there's no way I'm going to remember. I can't. He was a death squad leader in Indonesia, and...
Pol Pot?
He's in his 60s now, almost 70s, white hair. It's a pretty popular documentary going around right now. Like I said, he's a death squad leader.
Indonesian. Jagal, meaning the butcher. 2012 documentary film... directed by Joshua Oppenheimer, co-directed by Christine Sin as an anonymous Indonesian. It's a Danish-British-Norwegian co-production.
That's not what I was talking about. So anyway, this death squad leader, the guy that the movie's about, they went to Indonesia and during this huge uprising, which was funded by America, which was a military coup. They overthrew the communist government of China, which was controlling Indonesia at the time. They overthrew the communist government, and so under the guise of communism, anybody that was considered a communist, they could kill in the street freely. And so they call themselves, under their own name, they call themselves the movie theater gangsters. And what they did was, and the reason that the Americans supported them is because communism didn't want any American films or American media or any American culture to be absorbed by the Indonesian population, so they were banning it. So these dudes, like anything that's been banned or prohibited, they were selling it illegally. They were scalping tickets to movie theaters that would play American films against the communist government. When the military coup was instated, they became not gangsters anymore. And they still use the word gangster freely there because they believe that the word gangster is from the European word that means free man. That's how they believe it. They say it repeatedly in this film. And this, it's basically about this one death squad leader who... was famous for strangling people with wire, and he's like a grandpa now. And they presented the idea to him that we will allow you to tell your story, and he believes that his story is one that it should be told. And he loves movies like
And he loves modeled, killing people.
And he modeled his shit after Al Pacino and De Niro and, you know, old school Bogart and, you know, all of these guys.
Of course.
Really.
So now he's
random.
Revered as the founding father of the right-wing paramilitary organization.
Yes, yeah.
The what are they Bermuda Pen Sicilia.
No, the Pancilla Youth.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're
the organization is so powerful that its leaders include government ministers.
The entire government.
And they're happy to boast about everything from corruption and election rigging to genocide. A regime founded on crimes against humanity.
In this documentary...
And has never been held accountable.
A public official. Never, no. In this documentary, he walks through the streets of all the Chinese population, because Chinese are naturally considered communists in their country. Anybody under the guise of communism, still to this day, they can strangle them in the fucking street. Excuse my French, but yeah,
they probably kill anybody
if they can convince everybody else that they're a communist.
That's what I mean. You just be like,
but basically,
kill them first.
It has boiled down to a large amount of nepotism. I mean, most of these people are all generationally related.
There's places like that in the United States where they still don't even know who the president
of the United States
Mao Zedong is in Mongolia.
Who is the president of the United States now?
Mitt Romney.
I thought it was still Dick Cheney.
I thought it had a board of directors.
Which one was the one that you guys face
like
off
a union?
I thought it was a confederated board of directors.
What do they call that? A union of what?
It was like Darth Vader and the Emperor were sitting down.
Union, what's that translated to?
Oh, councils.
The council. The Soviet Union of councils.
Soviet is Russian for council.
It's a union of councils. That's what
council
we are
union.
Now here.
Mm-hmm. Good old council union.
Yeah, that's what the good old US of A.
Want to come be a part of our union of councils? Get you a council together and bring you in as a satellite.
Union.
We'll bring you in as a satellite state.
So can you
help? Dude, they brought half the world together under the council.
Can I pose a question?
Set up another oligarchy.
Hey,
just for you.
Oligarchy?
Can I pose a question?
Oh, yeah, they do. Yes, they do.
So far, so good, right?
I do have a question relating back to something we were talking about earlier is, you know, like what kind of mindset it would take somebody to wear that, you know, stormtrooper uniform and et cetera. I would say even to the general populace, like in a country like that in Indonesia where, I mean, they're filming it. They're filming it and broadcasting it. There's a moment when
they're finding people to do it there.
Well, I mean, there's a moment when they're filming it that they realize that this is counterproductive to the propaganda that they've been spewing for, like, you know, 60 years. And they're like, if this comes out, we're going to look bad. And they don't stop. Their hubris is so much that they'll continue doing filming this project because they feel like they deserve it. You know what I mean? But at the same time, they stop, and their logic is telling them, like, this is going to, you know, maybe cause a civil uprising. You're going to have to strangle more people in the street.
Well, that's where each individual, as a member of law enforcement, or a paramilitary organization.
My question was,
if you're going to follow orders, that's up to you to do something heinous or to disobey orders, to go against your individual principles.
Even in that country, though, you got to sign up to wear that fucking orange jumpsuit. It's orange camouflage. The Priscilla military, the people that you just quoted. It's an orange camouflage thing, and you sign up as a youth. It's like a Boy Scouts type of thing, paramilitary, like the Boy Scouts.
Recruiting them young is where it's at. That's the only way you can do it. So
what the question I ask is, how far does that venture into the population? When you see in this documentary, you see these and they call themselves gangsters and they behave as gangsters based on gangster movies. He's walking around extorting small business.
I just understood something that I didn't quite get. So this leader.
How do
this,
a million people let one person?
So this leader of this paramilitary unit in some backwater third world country is watching U.S.
Indonesia's
Western American movies and using that as his template for how to run a business.
Mm-hmm.
And he's making it happen.
It's like us watching Scarface and using that as a template.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't we do that?
Get me New Jack City. Tombstone.
Get me RoboCop. No, and he says...
I got like 10 movies you need to watch. And we can take over the world.
Man, I'll tell you, you watch this movie, it'll make you sick to your stomach. And watching... The movie ends with him just vomiting.
That's awesome.
He's just sitting in a place where he strangled like over 100 people. There is literally on record... On public record, this man strangling 1,000 people with a piece of copper wire.
Hey, say goodnight to the bad guy.
He's nice.
Never seen another bad guy like me.
They start the movie out with him running. He walks down the streets. Everybody waves to him and says hello to him. And he's got his grandchildren, and he lives this simple life. He seems like a decent grandfather.
Oh, yeah, if the right person likes you.
If you're not allowed to not like him. You know what I'm saying? 1,000 people ain't shrimp.
Him.
I mean, no, but I ask. I mean, he's walking through a Chinese community. Not even him. His underling, his little imp, his first in command guy is walking around extorting for funding for this project, so they can get props and makeup and paint to paint their faces up like the people that they were abusing. He even in one point dresses up like a person being tortured as they were torturing this communist, and he tries to play the role of the communist that he was torturing while his goons torture him. And he can't make it through the cheesiest and most... I mean, you guys have took cinematic ideas into mind. Like it was horrible, horrible acting, not even very realistic at all. It was the most that they could afford... And it was very low budget, worse than the original Chainsaw.
You can probably see it on YouTube.
He broke down, not into tears, but into, like, unable to breathe. The movie ends with the man sitting where he strangled all these people and just dry heaving and vomiting. And that's where the movie ends. And he's still alive today. It is not illegal for him to have done any of the things that he has done.
Well, it's his government.
Well, and that's what he says, war crimes. Well, according to the Geneva Convention, if he leaves his fucking country, he's screwed.
Oh, okay.
Like... The UN's not so happy with what happened there, even though it was sanctioned by a bunch of European countries.
Apparently the state of Mississippi is a little more hard-nosed.
You know, yeah. Well, they got appearances to uphold and whatnot, but I mean, the true story is, yeah, it was totally sanctioned by everybody because they wanted, European and Western media to be incorporated into Indonesia. Now, once the goal was accomplished and they deny all responsibility and...
Well, the goal, it has...
Well, you're not allowed to leave your country or we're stranding you with
copper. If there's one thing the U.S. knows how to do, it's invade another country. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. Without leaving
its own country.
If there's one thing white
and
people know
that
how
they
to
didn't
do, it's
didn't
not
even
how to fuck
do anything
up without
about.
Leaving their house.
Hey, we learned a lot of
the whole basis of the United States.
Delegate. We gotta did no. We learn how we don't. We have genetically been ingrained with the ability to delegate.
Was everything built on colonialism, colonizing in this kind of, I mean, so I mean, you think we've ever lost that?
Well,
colonized.
When you're gonna say everything was built on colonization, I mean, there's colonies of cells in your body. I mean.
Everything's built on, right? I don't know if Machiavelli knew about that.
But. I think, molecular and cellular colonization. I mean,
no, that's what...
We have colonized. We're forming a colony right now. Memetics are the that portion of evolution that has really become double-edged for us in the society.
What do you know about that?
That idea that's self-replicating.
It's just an idea that's in there.
If you feed it to that person, they will feed it to three other people, and they will remember it and eat it over and over and over again. And it memetics is something that worked really well with fire and with gravity and with all of these ideas that have been passed on that help us survive. But a memetic idea like, you know, fascism or communism or, you know, even democracy.
Like a meme.
Or
a meme idea.
Well,
so you're talking about memes.
Where do you think the
yes.
word meme comes from?
Yeah, the memes from the memetic.
I love this guy.
Well,
we just became best friends. Dave and I
we have digressed into a.
We're gonna go do karate in the basement. You guys got this.
Thank God.
But no, seriously, an idea that is
MTRadio.net for sponsoring our delicious little show. We like to speak. Onto all kinds of
I
things.
Can totally tie
you know,
on the Intel scanner.
So on the Intel scanner.
I can tie it back into itself.
How do we tie this all back into itself? Again, the memetic idea of
the people that are susceptible to memetic ideas are more likely to be the people that would dress up like a stormtrooper or allow, you know, a one person that claims to be a gangster to walk into their neighborhood of a million people. Like, I mean, we're talking Indonesia. There's literally a neighborhood of a fucking million people, like all Chinese, for a whole group of people. One dude walks in and takes money from each and every one of them.
Keith.
And how does this happen? So this memetic idea, this self-replicating process.
Which is like a meme.
It is exactly. It
self-replicates
is exactly,
like
exactly
a gene.
A meme. It is exactly a meme.
No,
but so
memes do not self-replicate. We they're,
it is an,
they're parasite. Memes are like parasites on us. We replicate
yes,
them.
We do that work for them. Absolutely. Right. Just like a gene, though, we are the parasitic host. We're the host.
Your brain.
For a gene. For the gene replication. I mean, we have...
Since we're all...
We self-replicate. We crack the door. We're smoking in the studio tonight.
Which is a rare...
Clean air.
A rare... And since we're all... Momentous occasion.
Don't say that.
Thank God. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I fully endorse smoking tobacco. If you can, smoke them if you got them. They make your life better.
Support those self-sufficient families in South Carolina.
Grow your own tobacco.
Getting subsidies for tobacco to...
Those two families.
And Monsanto to use their...
Yeah, you know, it's two families. What are those? Phillips and Morris, right? Yeah, Phillips. Those are the two that get down, right? Yeah.
Whatever.
Right, Philip and Morris. And
yeah, they own it. Those two own it all. They own every tobacco, Copenhagen, Skoll, the cigars,
the
snuff. They own it all.
There's another one.
R.J. Reynolds.
R.J. Reynolds.
And there's the American Tobacco Corporation that owns a lot of the chew tobaccos, but everything else is owned by those three.
Not monopolized.
I believe that
much.
People that are susceptible to mimetic ideas are the first to get brainwashed, or the first to put on a stormtrooper outfit, are the first to allow a gangster to come into their neighborhood and extort them. You know?
Yeah, because they worship that same mentality. Because a person
because
that will allow themselves.
Of making waves.
Right.
If I disrupt the system too much, then the system will no longer support me. I feel like that's a horrible, horrible idea. And as far as I was told, we were going to get onto the idea of brainwashing tonight, which is the thing I really
want to talk about. Well, I say let's do it.
I mean, we got an hour, right?
We got
great introduction and a brainwashing.
How long it takes to get to the end of it.
That's where brainwashing comes in.
You can't tell somebody brain farts and we don't have a show anymore.
We've never ended a show.
Doesn't seem like that.
I will never leave.
No, there's more to say. Always. See, that's where the brainwashing comes in. It's because of people's susceptibility to influence, because of people's willingness to want to do good, to not want to go against the grain, to want to conform, because that's usually in a tribe that's for the good of the tribe.
Well, people
it was on the grass plains of the savanna. It is not necessarily on the streets of
Detroit. We're trained that the group knows better than the individual,
right?
And yet, over and over again, we find that group mentality is a far cry from.
I was told it's called patterned optimism. You observe patterns. We're trained to observe patterns. So, like,
well,
for example,
it's called cognitive dissonance. So you're aware of something but don't want to believe it because it doesn't conform with your idea.
I think what he's saying is though that you see what you look for.
Well, see, yeah,
you are optimistic frame of mind.
We are trained to, or our mind is geared to look for patterns, and through evolution, we are geared to look for patterns. So say, you know, a hunter on the grass plains of the savannah, I keep going back to that, but that's apparently the cradle of birth or whatever. So like, say that dude with a spear out there on the savannah, he hears a rustle in the grass, and the tall grass next to him. Now that could be the wind, or that could be a large cat that's going to eat you. So if he assumes that it's a cat,
it would behoove you to assume it's a cat.
Exactly.
Because if it wasn't, it doesn't matter. You ran away from nothing. If it was a cat, you ran away and saved your life.
As far as the patterns go, you're optimistic as that the pattern is true. So you find that as patterns are less controllable.
And yes, on the savannah, that would work. But here's how it goes now. Now, the slave masters turn you into, it turns into Stockholm Syndrome. Now we fall in love with our captors.
Well, see, and that's what I'm saying is something that was
that's
beneficial.
The
saying is no
that
longer
gets
beneficial.
Into the Darth Vader suit and goes and beats people in the head on the street.
I saw a very great parody of Darth Vader where it was like a bunch of stormtroopers. Like he can't really choke people. We just pretend to do that. Like he's been choking the same dude like 30 times. We put a mustache on him. Sometimes we put a mustache on him, and George comes back and he's like,
"Oh, we're gonna use our mind powers.
It's good for him. It keeps him from throwing a fit. You know, a good dictator."
To answer the question from earlier, though, also that ties in to the person that will wear that stormtrooper suit, the black mask and club.
Susceptible to a mimetic idea.
He is the guy that is suffering from Stockholm Syndrome. He's in love with his captors. Have brainwashed
because
him.
Because it's more
to
frightening.
The point
it's more frightening
feeling
to rock the boat than it is to admit that you're a slave.
Yes. So therefore, it's easier to say, yes, my people. The people that hold me as captive. There.
Well, we're trained from children that our system is worth preserving.
Well, yes. because yeah, if you get in trouble at school, for example, and I don't, for each person, I think there's a certain amount of growth at that moment when no becomes very realistic and very important to them, like the word no. Like, especially to people who have control over your life or have the ability to punish you.
And a lot of times those people have knowledge of those type of control factors over you. That's why they utilize
them. Well, I would ask you, Pharaoh, when was the first time that you said no? Like, that you remember saying no to somebody who was in charge, who there was, you were going to benefit nothing other than...
We all said no to our mama. We all said no.
To her face?
I'm not going to go clean my room. I'm not going to do my homework. I'm not going to do the dishes. I'm not coming in when you tell me. I'm out here playing, and you're telling me to come in? No.
No, I would say that there was...
That was probably the first time I said no. I did tell me to come in. I'm outside playing. No.
I remember the first time I said no. I take a spelling pretest. You guys remember pretests?
Sure.
So I took my spelling pretest. They said if you get 100% on your spelling pretest, that you don't have to take the test. Because obviously you don't know how to fucking spell the words. So I took the pretest. The next day, I had a substitute teacher. Not my actual teacher, my substitute teacher. And she tried to make me take the test. And I said, no, I got 100%. Go look in your file or whatever. It's on record. I don't have
hey,
to
that doesn't
it.
Always serve in your benefit, but whatever.
She didn't care. No, she was just doing her job. She was a stormtrooper just doing her job. It was a bureaucracy.
File somewhere.
Well, somewhere, yeah. Well, yeah.
She's DARPA. She's used to students throwing her all kinds of curveballs to get away from shit. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know what was set up before she was
Am I wind in the grass or am I a large cat trying to fucking take advantage of
it? No, you're a large cat.
I don't want to be
It's better to assume, right? It's better to assume. You know what they say about assumption, but we all assume.
Yeah. Squeaky wheel gets oiled. I get it. Closed mouth, don't get fed. Well, that's how that
but,
goes.
But
that's
all about personal. For me, though, this is where
the waves.
Squeaky wheel gets
agrees. Squeaky wheel gets oiled. That's right, exactly. And then the closed mouth, don't get fed.
That's but as far as saying no goes, for me, that was the first moment I said no. She was like, you're going to take this test. I was like, no, I'm not. I leave out this portion for a moment, but also there were a bunch of social workers
also,
and attorneys.
Also, you got sent to the office a lot.
In the principal's office, I don't know. They called me out before I could ever take the test because there were social workers and attorneys waiting to talk to me about my abusive father and all that dumb shit. That's not the point.
Not working for your benefit.
I had some shit going on in my life that was difficult, so I was not going to tolerate this bullshit.
Really, what was going on with you then?
It was...
Was it really bad?
Yeah, it was not so good.
Yeah?
So, anywho...
You over it?
You know.
I think you need to get closure.
So, long story short... Fucking, no, she tells me I gotta take this test. I say, no. She says, you're gonna get detention. I say, I'm not gonna show up for that. And she says, there was this weird pause when she realized that her pen and paper, like she's writing for detention. She wrote the first detention, and I was like, that's cool.
Because I don't deserve it.
I'm not going there. I'm not gonna show up for detention. So she wrote another slip and said, you're gonna get more detention. I said, that's okay, because I'm not going to go to the first one. Why the fuck would I go to the second one? So she got really confused, and she's like, you're going to get suspended.
So here...
I don't got to go to school?
So everyone would do that now in real life.
But you think think about it, really. You
got
had,
pulled over, you
had
no insurance.
No, this
you,
is...
You had a choice, and you took the hard path.
Yeah,
here.
I discovered no. And
you
could
have taken the test.
I took it all the way.
Not filled it out.
I took it all the way. You say the hard road, I took it all
Your
the way. I went home.
Come back.
No, my mom comes to school to pick me up, because they're kicking me out of school now. you're suspended now, and it's like, that's cool, I'm just not going to go to school. My mom gets here, and she's picking me up, and I'm already kind of fighting her with her for the other shit that I was going on, and she's like, well, you're grounded. And I was like, you know, you say that. Seems to me that I'm still a bipedal life form, and I can fucking operate a door handle.
Barely sentient.
Crazy. Like, watch how far I can walk.
Seriously, you're barely sentient. How could you do that?
I left.
I
left. Like your free room?
I pushed this all the way to her drilling my window shut with locks. Well, and then this is when I asked you, did you discover no? This is when I discovered the value of the word no. And this was all just me saying the same word the whole time. They're like, you're grounded. I'm like, no. They're like, detention. I'm like, no. They're like, locks on your windows. I'm like, I know how to operate a drill. No.
Yeah, but nowadays you can't do that. You pulled over for no insurance.
You see,
you're pulled over. The cop says you have no insurance. You're like, yeah, I have no insurance.
What's your pay tolerance?
You have to pay this ticket. And you say no. And the judge says, well, you didn't pay
the
fine.
Have you ever read the
counterpoint? You have to go to jail. You can't say no. You can't say no to this system coming down upon us now.
You know, you're proliferating a meme right there. You can't.
Can if everybody did, we would all get away with it.
I say unto you, you can. It just sucks if you do.
You're right. You can.
What's your level of suffering?
And like, if everyone
how much suffering can you tolerate in your life?
I wish everyone had your attitude on that. If everyone had that attitude,
we'd all be assholes.
In this predicament of tyranny and oppression that we're in now. Because the powers that be could not say, you have to pay this fine. Because you would just say, no, I will not pay this fine.
Do that. I'm
and
doing
then
that.
They would say, listen, wait. We're going to come to your house and take you to jail. And then you say, no, you're not going to take me to jail. Right, I refuse to go. And then what?
Oh, I live what I say.
Now they shoot you. Now they say, stop resisting as they beat you in the face and tase you. There's a point where you can't say no anymore.
There's a point where you lost the point.
In this world, if everyone said no like that in the beginning, then
it would be a utopia.
Yeah.
Do you know what the definition of the word utopia is?
No place. It's a paradise.
Latin, it means no place. It literally means no place.
Where did the word utopia come from?
The Latin or Greek of the word no place.
Philosophers.
Probably.
I think literal translation is some philosophical idea of a place that doesn't exist.
Probably Plato.
But the literal translation into English.
Plato was a genius, though.
He was pretty intense.
There were
Aristotle.
What happened to philosopher as a career? As a fucking career choice.
Well, they didn't make any money. That's what happened. There's no money in philosophy.
You become a doctorate.
Yeah. Unless you're Charles Manson, and
then you get to proliferate a meme. If you succeed at becoming a philosopher, you can proliferate a meme. That's what you're telling me, you guys.
Yeah,
you're hurting
absolutely.
My feelings.
Yes. Well, once you decide that you're a philosopher.
Oh, I'm an idealist. Well, what is that called?
We have a lot of 12-year-old philosophers on the internet.
Yeah, we do.
It's not idealist. What's that word?
Ain't that the truth? Because everybody thinks they know everything already.
You know the one I'm talking about. It's on the tip of your tongue.
But it's still, you can't fill a cup that's already full. But then again, if my cup wasn't full, it could not runneth over upon everyone else.
But then again, there's the shrink that hands you the half glass and says, is it half empty or half full? And you grab it and drink it and say, problem solved.
It's empty.
Say, like, what is the molecular structure of the compound you were handing me?
I don't mean to change things up, any, but...
Please do.
I read on Drudge Report today that our great Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia was doing a speech at the University of Hawaii, and he was saying that it's wrong for a government to create internment camps, concentration camps, but it's going to happen again. It's happened by governments all over, but it's going to happen again.
Look,
the reason he was preaching this out is because I guess the senator, one of the high up government guys from Hawaii, is Japanese American. And he's a big World War II veteran, Medal of Honor recipient. And Antonin Scalia was doing a speech and selling this to him. And that Japanese politician was going along with it. Yeah, you know, you're right. You know, we are at some point going to have to create these internment camps. And I had to join.
For who?
Well, this Japanese politician was saying, I had to join the military and prove to my neighbors and prove to my government that I was willing to pay the price for them. And that's how I kept myself out of the internment camps during World War II, the Japanese internment camps here. And it's just, it's pretty wild. I mean, what does anybody think about
that? So who are these new internment camps for?
That's just it. The article is very open-ended. It's freaky.
Can I go back philosophical with that? Because I do have an idea.
Sure.
So many people that enjoy conspiracy theories, as most of us do, and, you know,
I hate that word.
Different. Well,
not a big fan.
Excuse me. I didn't realize where I was. Pardon me. So many people that are open-minded and question things, such as the people in this room, are generally open to the idea of aliens and that type of thing, right? So
open to talk about it.
Allowing for the possibility of.
Absolutely for the possibility. Right,
yeah. Okay, so I have met a large group of people, like a pie slice of the chart, of people that are interested in the idea of like aliens coming down and sharing their knowledge with us or whatever. And if they seemed like benevolent and nice aliens, right? They could come down here and just camp us up.
But they could just internment
camp the shit out of us. No, like, I mean, I'm just talking on a sheer population level, people you've met, you know, your slice of the pie, people you've met. You see a large group of people who would be welcome to the idea of, as long as it wasn't a human being, telling them what to do, they would be open to the idea, but they would receive the technology and all of this.
So you think people would allow to be put into concentration camps?
I think like that, like the Twilight Zone that I watched with this guy here, they would totally march directly into how to cook for people or whatever.
How to serve man.
Yes, exactly that. Thank you.
Amen.
I believe we've
all seen that one.
And I say that as this weird idea that
we need to do a Twilight Zone show.
Just, yeah. Well, I say this. You guys have been trying to write movies for a while, and I do say this just as your friend.
I've got a movie written.
You want to write a movie?
Proletariat.
Just pick any episode of the Twilight Zone. Like, just, like, one of the first two or three seasons, and just pick one of those and just turn that into a full-length feature film, and it'll be awesome and way better than anything that was written nowadays, because people have forgotten how to write, other than present company excluded.
Well, people have
talk about a philosopher, Rod Sterling.
Oh, yeah, brilliant
mind. Practice.
I think what we keep coming back around
to
is this idea
for Planet of the Apes. I did not realize.
Like you were saying, internment camps. How does a fucking internment camp work?
The original Charlton Heston Planet of the Apes.
It's almost an automated system.
Well, like with anything the government's going to advertise to you, they're going to say, hey, it's this, but in reality it's this. They're going to say, hey, we're just going to take the people that are in debt, we're going to take the drug addicts, we're going to take this...
The homeless.
The communists.
We're going to stuff all these people in this camp.
And everybody else is like, well, okay, that's what's best for society. And then they come and get this other group.
Like this happened, it was called the CCC camps, and it happened after our last Great Depression. It didn't matter if you were a white guy that was unemployed, an Indian,
it never black happened.
Man.
It's still
they
happening.
They put you
now.
To work. And
oh, yeah, they'll get
these
you.
These internment camps will be broken down into... segments of population.
Slavery will always be acceptable as long as a person can justify it to themselves.
If you got three hot...
If you're a rapist, well then you should fucking dig my hole for me. I don't want to dig it. You suck at life.
That's why I brought the chief labor along.
Dig my hole. Because obviously you're not a real person.
You gotta look at it.
Exactly. That's the mentality.
My God, yes.
Run the roulette.
That
is how
that goes.
Yeah. That's exactly.
I don't have to feel guilty because I don't love you.
Yeah. You are totally a whole other species than me, in fact.
You know what I'm saying?
Don't tell anybody.
Yeah, we're trained to think that way. You've
committed
a crime. You're not human anymore.
The dehumanization of...
Well, that's why they wear the masks, though.
Mm-hmm.
Of the enemy. That's
if
what
you
it
felt
is.
Human while you were doing it.
Dehumanization of the enemy.
If they could see your fucking eyes. What if they live? That's the worry. Like, what if you're executing? What if you're the executioner and they don't die? What if that call from the governor
skin
comes
color.
In? Like, right when you're swinging the axe and you got to stop?
Of a different...
Right? Or you don't stop. Like,
economic
what if the call
class.
Comes in right after you swung the axe?
Well, I think the call has already came in. You already know about it.
No,
but
what I mean is, like, the mask, man. You got to wear that fucking mask. Like, you know, nobody wants to be the... Everybody wants to kill somebody. Everybody's got a fucking dark side. Everybody has
that's
an issue.
That's false.
But you got to... Yeah. You got to wear that anonymity. Anonymous. Those guys are...
Or the Darth Vader mask. The Stormtrooper mask.
Produced commercially by Warner Brothers.
Any person that cannot own their own beliefs.
The Guy Fawkes mask you see everywhere.
A man, in my opinion.
One of the most disease corporations.
That isn't Serco.
What is more important than ethics,
I like Serco.
God, or religion?
Don't come kill me.
Life.
Wow. Yes.
Dude, we've given Serco a lot of free advertising.
What is the most important
thing to have?
PO Box 875.
Brought to you by Serco.
59101.
Sponsored by Serco.
We are brought to you by Serco.
The corporation of the next generation.
I'll give that a number two. I say principle.
Principle.
Be a person with principle.
Ideals.
That ties into ethics.
It does
ideals,
tie into ethics, but I think
ethics,
principles are better
principles.
Than ethics.
I want to advertise Serco.
Ethics are adjustable definitely. According to your situation, and most people have proven that.
What you need are logic-based principles, not just principles. Religion will give you principles.
I will tell you this. An ignorant person who is completely wrong, if they are a principalistic person, I will respect them more than a person who is intelligent enough to know that they are wrong.
and well, chooses to pretend.
A person that blindly follows principles is
blindly follows. That's not how a principle is to establish a principle in your life. How long does it take for those things to become
most,
real?
Yeah, but who
to make a principle?
Nobody
in your life.
Establishes their own principles.
Yes,
no, they
do.
Take what's given to them.
I thought everybody did.
We're a product of our environment.
Oh, God says,
Charlie Manson?
Nurture versus nature. What, are we nurtured into who we are, or is nature around
your
us?
Environment. My environment began with
Charlie Manson was created by our society. He was adopted, grew up in the system.
I mean,
product of our environment. His environment.
He said that a lot of times. He was a product of the environment.
I challenge you guys this. If we were products of our environment, the environment that bore all of us was the Big Bang. That was all gravitational and physical forces just combined in one unified state of chaos and logic all simultaneously. And I'm a product of that environment. And I say to you, question everything. We all question everything. Enjoy that. Even the people that pretend to, even the sheep, even the lowliest of the sheep, has the questions. They just don't have the voice. So question it and say it out loud. Rock the boat.
They have
see
questions.
What fucking happens.
Yeah.
I mean, if you are so loud that you're capable of knocking the boat over,
well, that's the sleeping giant. That's the sleeping giant of the masses. The sleeping masses, the sheep that are accepting the cognitive dissonance.
You're still talking about
the
mimetic idea.
Stockholm syndrome.
How many revolutions and revolutions can you have? We cause a revolution. We build our own.
Well, because
system,
it's a
and
cycle.
Then we become corrupted with power.
It builds up, it crumbles, it rebuilds.
So if
it
I get
builds
you,
up, it crumbles,
you're
it rebuilds.
If you can rock the boat, do rock the boat.
Absolutely.
Because that's what
but
causes
my
the motion of
just because,
that.
There's this
just
one
because
word
you've
that
been
would
to a
process,
you've been through a process to establish your principles, and you think you're right. Just think about how many people in our history have thought they're doing the right thing and have totally screwed us all over.
No, the guy that was saying the earth
think
is flat, you have to believe me.
You have
to believe me. The earth is flat. I swear.
Sean,
I know I have
your
evidence.
Your vocabulary is less, and we got this thing. Not idealistic, not surrealistic. There is this other idea. There's this other word ends in istic, and it means
cannibalistic.
No, and it means that you're no. You guys are mind. Jesus, sweet Jehovah, Yahweh,
menstrualistic,
something like
no. It means
how bad can
altruistic.
Get with that?
Thank
altruistic.
You. You said enough of
altruistic. That's what we're going for.
That is the
altruistic.
Same.
Everybody
the
forget what you said.
You were saying that you wish more people were that is like me.
Altruistic. I like that word a lot.
I believe in it.
I do like that word.
It is a principle that I hold dear. Altruism. I am altruistic. What that means?
It's like philanthropic.
Even an altruistic person sense, puts some causes above others.
Can you spell that?
Say that again.
Moving on.
We're laughing about.
I don't know how to use
no,
it.
No, go.
Even an altruist prioritizes their causes.
Absolutely. And
they might make a mistake there. Let's say.
Absolutely. I believe altruism allows for the idea. For me,
but it's probably better to
I
try and make
I want to believe
mistakes.
That there is a fundamental right and wrong. That there is a constant right and wrong,
everybody
no matter
wants
what.
To believe that.
So I spend my life journeying
well,
towards
you,
where does that line begin?
So, no.
As
where's
humans,
the gray area?
As humans,
at?
What's right is
right,
all,
wrong.
We live in that
gray area.
We live in that gray area.
I do not believe there's an absolute right and wrong.
There's not.
There is only our own context.
Shit.
We're all humans, though. But here,
or are we?
Here, we're all humans. Now there is a common right and wrong between humans, and that is what advances humanity is right.
Is this
and
right?
And what does not advance humanity is
or
wrong.
Because I'm doing this.
Crack that door.
Sean, I love this conversation.
The altruism falls short.
I believe
altruism
falls
short.
How do you determine in your minute little task we can do individually?
To be altruistic.
How do you know
individually?
You're truly helping the right.
You're open to Pandora's box because that requires faith.
Faith. Yeah.
No,
where do you ground your faith? Exactly.
This is the
yes.
conversation Pharaoh and I discussed.
You left George Michael.
Logic should lead you to your own faith.
Faith needs to be founded.
Don't quote me to
in
well,
logic.
That's even
I did.
The Bible.
But the Bible doesn't quote logic.
I love the Bible.
But you can take it for a set of
I hate the Bible.
Basic instructions before
basic
leaving Earth.
Basic instructions.
I love
okay.
Jesus.
Right, basic instructions.
I hate
basic
the Bible.
We all know this without being taught it.
I hate the Torah.
Right. Well,
you hate
so
it?
They...
Ah! I'm sorry.
Capitalize on that.
We love the Torah here at the Intel Scan.
There is no. Hold on, let me get the disclaimer.
No Jew.
The disclaimer on.
No Jews were genuinely offended.
Entertainment purposes only here at the Intel Scanner. None of this should be taken seriously. We should have told you.
Anti-Semitism is
an hour
idea
ago.
That we hold here.
This show should not be listened to by the feeble-minded.
Actions and views to
or the virgin eared.
By the Torah and the people here.
Are not held true by the corporation that owns.
We love the Torah. We love the Kabbalah. We love the Bible. We love, here at the Intel Scanner, we do not discriminate.
We love the Quran.
The Quran, yes.
Why did you allow me here? I hate all of those things. I genuinely
Well, because
hate
we like to have an opposing opinion sometimes. We can't just all be,
I'm the hater.
Dipped into the ideas that everyone else agree with.
Apparently.
See,
if you just accept what you're dipped into, then you become the dip.
You just
if
not
there's
not
one thing we could agree on, it's to avoid a monoculture of thought. It's
well, you can play
questions
never,
lead to
we
truth.
Never
questions lead to truth.
Think the same thing.
Well, you can play the hand you were dealt, or you can push it. You know,
you can't
you
play
must
anything
always
with
have a duality.
You can lose it run.
You can,
chances are you're gonna bust. But
you
hey.
Can only know and be confident in the fact that what you think, what you believe, what you feel manifests itself for you into the future. So if you think and you feel doubt, if you feel lack, if you feel helplessness, that is what is going to manifest for you in the future for you.
So you're
and
saying
if you surround yourself
selfish,
with people like
selfish.
That, then that's a mimetic
it is.
Idea.
It's all about you. It's all about you manifesting a place where you can help others from. Try doing
exactly.
that.
Exactly, yes.
Try doing that one time and see how it goes for you.
If everybody
you can
should
think yourself into a place where you can make a benefit for others, then your life will progress forward.
You guys all action starts in thought. So you have to, yes, you have to think.
Have you guys heard
of that? That's why we are given a mind, all of us as above animal human beings.
Have you heard of oxytocin?
That's how we thought about this shit.
Have you heard of oxytocin?
Oxytocin is the love
chemical, the love drug,
hormone,
the love molecule.
Gene,
it's
molecule.
Technically the love molecule.
Yeah, the love molecule.
You guys
molecule.
Want to Google
that's
that?
Yeah,
Google
yeah.
the love molecule.
Cue Marvin Gaye.
Oxytocin.
No, actually, it just it,
sexual.
If you hug somebody, if you hug somebody for longer than 12 seconds, true story. If you hug somebody
like
for longer than 12 seconds,
that's awesome.
They feel a certain amount of trust for you that they have never felt for another person.
As soon as you
even
touch
into
them.
Their awkwardness.
So actually, if you hug someone for 30 seconds or more, yes, oxytocin will be released.
Yes, they will feel.
The time frame
takes 30 seconds. Takes 30 seconds. To
well,
hug
average
someone.
Hug is 3 seconds.
Don't you never hug
ever
your
touch
bro
me again.
30 seconds? Right, because he'll tell you that.
Right. I mean, I've petted a dog for over 30 seconds. All of a sudden, I'm just like, before I know it, just
he's
having
your
a sex
best
with a
dog.
Story when
no,
the chemicals
just
released in your brain,
about
you are
sex.
More
it's
trusting.
Not about
if,
sex.
If any, this it's is about, how Ponzi schemes work. If they pay you enough
they
money.
Hug.
No, they release
money.
Enough oxytocin
if
in your
if someone
brain
gives
you
money, it releases oxytocin.
Oh,
oxytocin yeah.
It does.
Is directly related to trust.
It does.
If you release enough
unless
oxytocin in a person's brain, they will trust you.
And then it releases.
This is all tied back in
then
the
it releases tyranny. I don't know.
If you can release enough oxytocin in a person's
oh,
brain.
Oh, no. Here,
they will
somebody.
Trust you.
Oh, we're not measuring any oxytocin. He's a communist. Get rid of him.
Just strangle him with a copper wire.
Yes. That's where it comes from, the copper
wire. So it's mostly copper. The reason he used copper wire was because the first 100 people that he killed spilled too much blood in this small, like, 16 by 16 concrete square that it was unhealthy and unsanitary for them to clean up. So the government now officially gave him an award for discovering a new, more humane way based on...
Did you know how copper wire was invented? Two Jews picked up a penny at the same time.
So, all right, now if we're doing
moving
it.
On, moving on.
If we're doing it, hold on.
All right, guys.
So this little Jewish kid walks up to his dad and says, "Dad, can I borrow $50? His dad says, $40. What do you want $30 for?
Yes. Okay.
So Hitler had an unexpected guest. He was like, "Damn, if I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake." Oh, that's even worse.
Do you know why Hitler killed himself?
Why you gotta kill
him? Do you know why? True story. Do you know why Hitler killed himself?
Because he was a Jew.
Got his gas bill.
I have never heard that one. No, but seriously.
There's no way I can pay this.
You guys.
This is nonsense.
Seriously. You guys.
You guys.
My grandfather died in a concentration camp. He got drunk and fell off the guard.
All right, no more. We're gonna get fucking talked to.
comic relief. This is your
It's
not an intel scanner. Let's
half the people in the studio are Jews. So
the sheriff is the sheriff is near. He said the sheriff is near. Yeah, sorry. The sheriff isn't near. He's gonna do a good job. He's gonna do a good job. Thank God for the sheriff. Because if we didn't have control over us through police monitoring of our every movement, apparently, is what it takes to create security.
We were talking earlier about Ukraine.
You know, if
looking
it does,
like a communist.
If we're not being watched over, like, by all the sheepdogs over the sheep, then we are not protected. The only way we can be safe and protected and feel secure is by being monitored. Our every movement.
I agree.
Because if everybody knows what everybody else is doing, then no one can do anything bad.
The real question to that is, what becomes your business with your neighbor personally when you're keeping an eyeball?
I don't know. When I live,
the people are supposedly the government supposed to be keeping an eye on.
The thing is, I lived behind walls for so long that I just recently moved into a glass house so that everyone can see what I'm doing. There's no reason to hide.
Good.
If you have
an NSA glass house,
I have nothing to fear, so I have nothing to hide.
And you are so exactly the prime subject for the media infiltration of FUD, which is how we, as a society, we are all brought to action based on FUD: fear, uncertainty, and doubt.
Play on those. I revel in that. My fear, uncertainty,
and
doubt.
You and your glass house are a prime example.
Is why I live in a glass house, because I'm so afraid of being.
And you should be afraid.
I'm going to tell you what.
Something happening even in my own closed area.
Media says you should be afraid.
And my uncertainty of my safety creates.
You can't trust your neighbor.
The clear walls. No.
On what?
My neighbor.
That's just another ugly
watch
human.
Over me.
You can't trust another ugly human.
No, not just any human, but my neighbor can
be trusted.
You can
only trust the uniform masked government.
The masked and uniformed government has altruistic ideals.
Oh, yes.
Apparently.
Well, I want to say on what you were saying before about if you're not doing anything, if you're one of the people that is absolutely not doing anything, that's the person that better fear something. Because you're the person that they're going to want to make an example out of to all your other friends that don't do anything as well. Oh, you mean Mr. and Mrs. Smith? We're up to
something.
I mean, it's not going to mean anything.
That's what happens. That's what it sounds like when they kick your door in. Boom. And I don't want my door kicked in. That's why I live in a glass house. My glass
and
house
it's a death squad.
Is so transparent.
847 coming in.
My glass house is more transparent than the government. And you know what? We're living under the most transparent government we ever have lived under. According to
my standard, Woodhouse is more transparent than the government. That's really not saying much.
Well, I was told when my Fuhrer was elected. The Fuhrer was elected. Hitler was elected. Let's just say that. I'm going to say that. 1933, as chancellor, Hitler was elected as a government official. Elected.
No,
elected.
No, it was before.
No, he was in politics in 29 as a war hero from 1919.
See, 1919, Hitler,
but
a war hero.
Dealing with
I don't know all that much about.
If you like Hitler, if you hate Hitler, give us a call. It's 406-694-7150 at the Intel Scanner. We aim to please. We only want to talk to the elitists.
Or if you were
Rockefeller.
If you were related to Adolf Hitler. Or if you own one of Adolf Hitler's paintings and would like
Adolf
to donate
Hitler
it to us.
Adolf Hitler was related to David Rockefeller.
That's not a stretch.
No.
That's not a stretch at all. I mean, isn't it kind of funny that Arnold Schwarzenegger, being the big Austrian, was made like the biggest movie star of all time? The big, muscular Austrian German. I mean, we all know that. We all know that Adolf Hitler was Austrian. And I don't know. And it's come out that Arnold Schwarzenegger's father was actually an SS or served in. Here we are.
Adolf Hitler.
He joined the German Workers' Party in 1919.
Chancellor of Germany.
When was it?
From 33 to 46.
Good call, John.
His appointment as chancellor. I mean, he was not elected. He was appointed chancellor.
I was in the service over there.
No, he was appointed chancellor, but then elected to a presidency. Germany had a presidency then. He was elected as president.
Nice.
Go down. Scroll down more. Hitler was elected into his higher power.
Well, anyway, point being, we're living in the Fourth
Reich. It doesn't matter who you vote for.
The Fourth Reich is alive and well.
The vote is rigged.
We're living in it now.
It's even worse than that now. We're living in the expanded dreams of madmen. Standing on the shoulders of maniacal giants.
Yeah.
Why are we settling for being ruled over by a bunch of aristocratical, bureaucratic pigs that were put into power through birthright and not by merit? The merit that should come along with any sort of seat of power should come from deeds, should come from, you know, I mean, you should be a rock star. And to someone who I should worship as president.
Well, here's
as king should be someone who invented the new.
Here we go.
Should be somebody really fucking badass.
Someone who went to space and figured out the new technology to free mankind. Amen. That guy should be president. Amen. He should be king.
In 1932,
not some disgusting piece of shit lawyer in a fucking suit.
Hitler ran against von Hindenburg in the presidential elections.
And won. Yes?
Won him support.
Sounds salacious.
Hitler came in second in both rounds of the election, garnering 35%. Then he was
go to the Night of the Long Knives, because that's when he really took power.
Leave that crack, please.
Hitler was to head a short-lived coalition government formed by the NSDAP and Hugenberg's party, the German National People's Party.
One of my favorites.
And you know what? Hitler had a lot of things to offer. Hitler took away a lot of things. Hitler
gave a bad name to National Socialism.
He was all right until he was taken, and he was overrun.
It really is a crime. He gave such a bad name to National Socialism that you can't even say that.
Hitler started out as someone who just wanted to glorify nationalism.
In 1930, he testified that his party would pursue political power solely through democratic elections.
Well, that's all political nonsense. Come on, he was a politician by that point. He knew
semantics.
You say this, and it's this. Exactly. So,
He still started out as an idealist. And was corrupted through powers that be.
Well,
he was bought out.
He was an idealist.
I don't know who corrupted who, but he was an idealist.
He was a really talented painter, too, if anybody knew that. Adolf Hitler was a gifted painter.
Absolutely. I know, I've heard, my brother-in-law is a very talented painter.
Smashed. He had it hidden from view, though. He didn't want people to know he was a painter. He didn't want people to know he was an artist. He had it put away.
So that finally came out when? His paintings?
He wasn't advertising it when he was the Führer.
Well, it wasn't making him enough money, apparently.
We need to shove all these people into the chambers. And anybody want to bid up for my painting? It's really pretty. It has flowers. Right.
Thank you guys for letting me talk.
But
I am leaving.
You gone?
Yes.
Thanks for going.
Technical difficulties in life. Quantum
difficulties. Shitty.
The quantum aspect of everything, really.
It's the most important.
It's the only thing that you have control over.
I would hate to go from philosophy.
Well, that's where you have your only control is over the quantum. Because the observer changes the outcome of the experiment.
I watched a great movie lately called Filth.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
They repeat this phrase, the same rules apply.
Same rules apply.
From philosophy to politics to quantum physics to the behavior of larger particles such as...
And subatomic particles.
The same rules apply.
The same rules apply.
If we could only describe those rules, we'd have the grand unified theory.
Yes. If we could put philosophy and science and everything together.
Yeah, that's a proper noun because that is...
That's what we need, but E equals MC squared.
The grand unified theory.
Put it in a
string theory is more fun, in my opinion.
Yeah.
you know, grand unified string, whatever. It's all relative.
String theory would really be the only way that space travel or time travel would be possible, right?
It
would be if string theory was how it was.
Not necessarily.
No.
Well, there's a bubble theory.
There's a lot of versions of string theory, too.
String theory basically just means that we're all right.
Well, there's the membrane theory, which is popping this bubble, which you're talking about.
Brain theory, yo.
All the rest of that.
So there's each next layer to the next layer,
and we all have the power of the observer.
This is all explored in Down the Rabbit Hole.
It's a great
documentary.
What the bleep do we know?
I've heard that before.
What the bleep do we know, anyways? Yeah. Nothing.
A pleasure.
See you, fellas.
Gents and scholars, and anybody listening?
Yeah.
Have a good evening.
Thank you.
If you are listening, give us a call at 406-694-7150. It is the Intel Scanner.
You know, you guys almost been going a full hour and a half.
Boy, we've really killed it tonight. This is some odd conversations. Let's
it's been a little crazy.
So let's take it to where we were originally going to take it.
The universe seems to be expanding around us at all, and exponentially,
we are
becoming
the
greater
at the center of the universe.
So what do we think about like MK Ultra? We'll do another show down the road where it's like a full MK Ultra. Let's just touch on it. Like, now, what would you say? I've read some crazy things.
I think we should have a little introduction.
Some crazy videos.
For viewers and for myself.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you do a quick little Google on MK Ultra, and let's say you just go to YouTube, all these wild videos are going to come up. And a lot of these videos are going to say that the movie stars are all brainwashed and were sexually tortured as children and traumatically tortured as children, and they were brought up to everybody sell this Illuminati propaganda and New World Order, and you're going to see all these
things
come up.
Based on our previous discussion, we were all tortured as children.
So, on the previous discussion.
Yeah, that our system is wrong and we're brainwashed to live it.
Oh, well hold on. Well,
that's a torture in itself.
We're coming right to that in about two steps.
Well, it gets even deeper than that, actually.
So, I mean, do...
MK Ultra was started during World War II with research on hypnosis and interrogation.
Well, yeah, they did the same paranormal experiments that we did in Russia.
Who started that?
What was it? Not Gagarin, but...
some psychiatrist.
Well, the CIA.
Psychiatrist and torturist.
The CIA,
you know,
started MK Ultra, and it was... And they were going to research into the effects of primitive drugs like barbiturates and cannabis as far as drug-assisted interrogation. It was all about gaining information from a subject.
Coordinated with the Special Operation Division of the Army's Chemical Corps.
But what you want to understand about MKUltra is what it started out as is not quite exactly what it is today. It has turned into a full-scale operation. Is we have a call-in?
Yeah, sure.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we have a call-in. You're on the air. What's your name and where are you from? I can't get you onto speakerphone for some reason.
No speaker.
My speakerphone never works.
It's a heartbreaker.
It is. I try to make that happen, but...
Well, we have the call-ins at 406-694-7150. If you'd like to call in and tell us
what
you're
on speakerphone. What's your name and where are you from?
My name's Lisa, and I'm from FEMA Region 8.
FEMA Region 8. Well, congratulations, FEMA Region 8.
We have a local.
Thanks.
What have you got on your mind tonight?
Actually, I was wanting to ask you if you've noticed the strange snow over the country lately. And
the snow has been coming down, and also it has been known to not burn, not melt, and leave a puddle.
Well, it definitely leave a puddle, and it has a weird chemical smell when it melts, and it seems to have a lower freezing temperature. I recommend to anyone that they try to melt snow and see how little water it leaves.
I'm about to debunk this.
What do you use when you melt it?
A lighter, even as little as, it seems to react to light as well. If you put it underneath a heat lamp, and just let it melt, it evaporates very, very quickly. You can actually kind of see it bubble up.
So the snow seems to have different properties than it should have. Just not just frozen water.
Just a PSA, we do not advise our listeners to hold snow over a heat lamp. Electric.
I think if you have a Bunsen burner, I think the correct equipment for that would be a Bunsen burner. If you have a Bunsen burner at home, then maybe you should melt some snow.
The first thing you have to do,
and then record.
Snow.
Sean, do you want to kill this? Or
the melting point of snow.
Oh, I want you to. You can do it.
So, yeah, all right. Well, we have a debunker on premises talking about the melting snow.
So there's
a little debunk behind the melting snow.
Oh,
seems
keep
calling
online. Keep calling.
Yeah, if people say you're a conspiracy theorist, then make them try it for themselves and see what happens.
Well, the thing about burning snow is you can compact it. There's a lot of air still. When you compact the snow down, it creates a lot of air. Now, when you hold a lighter to anything, a butane Bic lighter or whatever type of lighter.
Keep your ignition source in mind.
Keep your ignition source in line. And when you light it, it's going to put black soot on anything you hold the lighter to. Hold your lighter to anything. It's going to the residue of butane burning is going to leave the black soot. That's the spent chemical of butane. Now, the reason there's no water melting from the snow is because the lighter is burning so hot that water is skipping the melting phase and going right into evaporation. And because if you take that same snow and set it to the side, it's gonna melt. I watch so many videos, and I am against the chemtrails. I am against, and I know it's all nonsense.
What you should do
is the snow itself might be government.
Put it in
created.
A frying pan on your stove.
Yes. There's several videos on YouTube. Several people have proven that, and by people that are a part of the truth movement. So
what we're saying here is snow by volume does not equal the volume of water, per se. The volume of snow is much greater than the volume of water.
And
when you
burn
melt it down,
the heat of
the evaporation process.
It'll skip the liquid phase and go right into evaporation.
And leave way less water than what that amount of snow should leave.
Because of the air trap.
Well, I watched the snow.
We'll put a big lighter right on this.
With,
oh, look at that. We got black fucking right on that in 2 seconds.
And leave black soot.
Right there.
So
actually, that's the test. If for our callers, for our listeners, if you think you do have this nasty, bad snow,
save some.
Try on the stove test on your frying pan. And if it's not melting there, then we have a serious problem.
Issue. And you send it into the Intel scanner, and we will blow it.
Our labs will analyze it.
Yes, we have a lab on premises. We will take care of it immediately.
We have a candy thermometer.
Mm-hmm.
Take a candy thermometer, put it in the snow.
Yeah, you know where you put thermometers.
I just think people should pay attention to their environment because it's definitely not acting like nature.
No, I
agree. You have to imagine.
I think the snow is created.
Acid rain's a real thing.
I think the snow is absolutely, all these storms are absolutely
acid rain's a real
created.
Thing. Acid snow, that has to be real.
I believe that all these huge winters, this huge cold is all created. I do.
All created.
I do.
Through chemtrails and HARP.
The government was tired of hearing all the global warming talk. The government was sick of hearing this. Oh, we're checking the YouTube. We got NSA checking the internet. People don't like the global warming. Oh, it's so hot. We'll show these fuckers what's cold. You fuckers want cold? We'll give you some cold. You want fucking freezing rain in New Orleans? Okay, assholes. You want 70 degrees in Alaska when it's freezing in New Orleans? Sure.
Part of the evaporation
we'll give it to you.
Process.
Give it to you real good.
Though.
I don't know. Maybe not, though.
Who balancing knows? Itself out.
Who knows?
Well, it seems like they're spraying particulates into the atmosphere. I look up every day and I see a grid pattern in the sky of trails of particulates that evaporate and spread out through the atmosphere.
Well, you got to figure how that radar actually works. You know, you go up there and you spray something or other, it's going to reflect the radar waves so you can track the air currents and things like that.
Well, yeah, if you spray a certain particulate into the atmosphere, it reacts a certain way to a certain frequency. Certain frequencies that are broadcast through the airwaves.
What I'm thinking is that after all these years of chemtrailing,
is that the government can now finally bring these fucking big winter storms. They can create this huge winter shit, and we'll see. I don't know. But obviously technology evolves with time, and it has been for really fast for the last several decades, and weather control would be an absolute total weapon. What if they could create an absolute tornado with flammable chemicals and create a Cat 5 tornado and set that bitch on fire and send it through New York City?
Well, they don't even have to create
it. It would be better than nuclear power because you wouldn't saturate. It wouldn't be radiation.
A couple weeks ago.
You could kill everybody and everything and not saturate the...
Massive tornado fires, these vortexes off of these huge fires in Australia that were going on just a couple weeks ago. They might still be going on.
Flammable tornadoes. That's what the game is. You want the flammable
technology
tornadoes.
Has been around for a long time. They've been, well
it's a natural force. Yeah, we're just now learning how to harness.
Yeah, it's been harnessed before. There's been patents put on vortex technology that put into the ionosphere.
See,
several vortexes that feed a power plant, feed a turbine.
Make a great vacuum cleaner.
Are we in agreement that the government can create tornadoes?
Oh, yes,
well,
I agree.
We create them in labs all the time. Now, whether we can set them free on
create
the
create them in nature, you don't know?
I don't know.
You don't know.
Someone knows.
Someone knows.
And they're doing that shit.
And you can start those tornadoes with flammable chemicals and light it on fire.
There's all kinds of things and ways to affect the environment.
Sure, you could start a vortex. You need the right weather conditions to take it, though.
One
can create those conditions.
They got the entire planet.
Nah,
so. That's
all hype. That's a hype. But our government wouldn't allow this all to be coming up. They've known about solar flares for thousands of years.
You know, if the sun honestly blew,
they've known the sun flips,
serious geyser and spit out a chunk of mass to. Made it this way. Any second something stupid like that could happen, or cosmic
it can destroy
explosion,
the planet.
Know?
Yeah, in the sense that we're so reliant on our electronic communications technology that and our power grid that a massive solar flare can still take all of that out.
I don't know. A solar mass.
I mean, you think
that seems like fear mongering.
No. You think about engineering. Engineering is always within tolerances. You don't engineer to withstand the most massive force ever imaginable. You'd never get your project done. You engineer with intolerances and averages, and we haven't seen a flare like this in hundreds of years. This is what we're going to build our tolerance to, and then law of averages. Occasionally there is that 1,000-year flare, and boom, all that shit's gone. Now we got to re-engineer all that.
So that's a real thing that could happen.
I think the whole space is
a coronal mass ejection could be Earth directed and fry everything that we have ever built. In place now around certain nuclear plants.
What might survive are the really
old Faraday cages that prevent that type of thing. A Faraday cage will stop an electronic projection like that would fry everything that else.
Yeah, you can build a Faraday cage. Will protect you up to a certain frequency.
Mm-hmm. And so you're saying that even the protections that the government thinks it may have in place around its technology that is developed around like power sources such as a nuclear power plant.
Mm-hmm.
The generators are Faraday cage protected.
No. Not.
Some of them are.
Possibly, yes.
A lot of the military grade tech is also Faraday cage plate.
So sure. What's a Faraday cage?
It's like a mesh of wire
that diffuses.
Think of chicken wire as sort of an example.
It's like a ground. It's a lightning rod. Of sorts.
Okay.
That stops lightning
a
bolt from blowing every...
wheel that will protect you from electromagnetic spectrum when
absolutely
properly grounded.
They have electromagnetics mastered. They've had Tesla technology for 120 years. It's no big deal. They have it all.
It's a mesh of conducting material, and basically an external static electric field, this is according to Wikipedia, causes the electric charges within the cage to distribute such that they cancel the field effect in the interior. It's basically, it's played off of frequency harmonics, in a sense, that they cancel each other out.
See, exactly. The government has this technology. The government can create and
it's
shut down.
It's the same thing that's
no
made
problem.
Your screen on your microwave. You look through the door of your microwave. That's a Faraday cage that holds the waves within the boundaries of the cage. And also, it works oppositely. It will hold the waves
inside
outside of the boundaries of that cage and protect what's inside of its boundaries.
Yeah, you
same
find
deal.
You find a lot of stucco houses built with this wire mesh.
The wire mesh
will
and laugh.
Have terrible cell phone reception.
Oh,
inside
yeah,
the
absolutely,
house.
Absolutely, because they're inside a giant Faraday cage.
Exactly.
And they didn't even know it when they were building those things back then. That's the crazy cool thing.
Right? Oh, no. Yeah. No, it wasn't.
They had no idea. That was a non-issue. Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, so if there is ever a CME from the sun, Earth directed.
So yeah, that's one protection. But the thing is, like, as end consumers, the transmission poles, the transformers on the poles, those are not Faraday cage protected. Those are all going out in a massive CME event.
So that's a grid down situation we're talking about, yeah.
But you're right.
And everyone should be prepared.
The facilities...
for a grid down situation.
That the powers that be depend
how
on.
Can you,
ever
how can you be prepared for that
situation?
How can you be prepared for that? What can you really do?
Live off
you can
the
have
grid.
An alternate
learn
power source.
Code and how to use a mirror or flash so that you can communicate. With
have a ham radio.
Oh boy, you'd have to be in a
ham radios.
Whole
everyone should invest in a ham radio.
If you have a CME and it blows it
definitely.
Up, what's the point?
You
if
should have a ham radio in a Faraday cage with some bunch of batteries in the Faraday cage. So
and as the radiation
run,
burns the atmosphere down, you can talk to some other people about how
else,
great
yeah.
things were.
Yeah, remember when we used to be able to drive
well,
around?
Ham channels are awfully clear now that no one else is running.
Remember back before
it,
everybody right? we knew was dying from cancer and radiation? That was so great. Oh, well. Long live the military corporations. It's always good.
Hail Circo.
What's a more serious concern?
Hail Circo.
Is that a seriously massive CME could really just strip our whole atmosphere?
Ruin the magnetosphere around
the
Earth.
Yeah, the whole ionosphere can go away.
So that our atmosphere blows away in the solar wind. That is
just
a very another serious threat that has potential.
And we have
I don't think we have
witnessed some of these massive CMEs pointed other directions away from Earth. From our own sun, you know, they are real events.
No,
we just happen to not be in the bullseye so
far. And
then
there's the occasional exploding star a few hundred light years away that creates such a cosmic wave it blows everything apart. You know, I mean, that could happen any second.
So we all live under constant threat of total annihilation.
Well, nobody gets out alive, so might as well enjoy yourself.
But in the meantime, we share our planet spaceship Earth.
Hurtling
we
through
ought
the
to,
galaxy.
We ought to keep her Hurtling. Clean, and we ought to keep her clean and tidy and operating.
She kept her motors clean. Best damn woman that I've ever seen.
Yeah, well, so far we're not doing a really fine job of keeping the Earth clean and tidy. I see
no
big
sloppy mess.
Genetic pollution in our GMO crops. That's the worst threat to humanity, besides maybe Fukushima.
Fracking.
I mean, there's multiple threats to our very existence on this little rock hurtling through space. GMO is a self-replicating nuisance upon a plague upon mankind that won't go away. Now that it's been
released,
it will blow upon the wind and infect farmers' crops for thousands of years to come. Genetically modified organisms that are posing as corn, posing as soybeans, posing as canola oil, posing as all these things that infect our food supply.
The major problem with them is that
they do self-replicate.
Actually, most of them are engineered not to reproduce. So farmers have a real issue when they land in their fields and grow crops.
Because there's no seed crops.
They have to buy more seeds. That's how it was all started.
So that seems to be spreading.
But we all have seen Jurassic Park, you know, something engineered not to produce.
As Jeff Goldblum says, life finds a way.
Aww. You know, we just came up.
And here's the props to Jeff Goldblum. That guy's old now, too. Have you seen him lately? The poor guy.
Is he falling apart?
Yeah, kind of. I think he's got a wicked heroin addiction. He's following the same road as...
He was found dead.
What an idiot. A needle in his arm in his own apartment.
What an idiot.
From Oscar-winning Academy Award.
The guy that played...
Much beloved actor.
Done.
What's his name?
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
He played the bad guy in Mission Impossible 3 awesomely. That was really... He killed it.
Should we bring up Super Bowl before we end?
Oh, we absolutely should.
Nothing happened at the Super Bowl. What do we need to bring that up for?
Well...
press conference.
There was
the guy that came on and was like 9/11 was a government
was perpetrated by people within our own government.
Government.
And steps off right
and then he gets took away into custody.
First
he
says investigate 9/11.
I agree. And so what effect did he have on anyone really?
He's got people talking about it. It's big. It's on the internet. Yeah. It's trending big.
Really?
Yeah. Fool.
Really?
Dude,
that's all it would take for someone to be like, ah.
It was the MVP Super Bowl winner. He jumped right in front of the MVP, grabbed his mic.
He didn't blame it on Bush. He didn't blame
exactly.
it on
the Jews.
It wasn't by people within our own government.
All he says is investigate 9/11.
Investigate it.
It's perpetrated by people in our own government.
Everybody knows this. Even the deniers know this. Even the deniers know this. They just don't want to admit it to themselves. That our government is at all-out war with the American people. Not the whole government, but there's factions within our government. I mean, look at Oklahoma
Big
City.
Factions.
Oklahoma City was the dry run to 9/11.
I mean, give me a break. Look at the president. Look at Eric Holder and his whole Justice Department.
Yeah,
the
Obama disgusting piece
administration's
of trash.
Justice Department, Eric Holder and them bunch. Google that. Check them out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've perpetrated a whole bunch of stuff.
Eric Holder's been a disgusting
a woman
trash forever.
The treasury here in the last week.
Well, that's a kinder, gentler treasury, apparently.
Well,
now,
maybe she'll balance the budget. You know,
I bet she will.
Or not.
You guys want more money? We don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it says the IRS, and if you put all those words together, it just says theirs.
The IRS!
Wow!
Yeah!
It says theirs.
It's all theirs.
That's it. It's
a wrap. Thank God for that you tuned in to the Intel
to
Scanner.
The Intel Scanner.
Do we want to play him some music for a
the
little bit?
The IRS.
Maybe come back with some Super theirs. Bowl, whatever.
I want to say, while we're talking about
Super Bowl,
I want to say this. When I was watching the Super Bowl, did you watch it?
No.
43-8. I just read an article, and it was saying... that we got a call in for the show or
no hello
and they were saying that the reason they blew him out was that Seattle Seahawks realized Peyton Manning's hand signals. They knew him and they were just like, this is it, we're reading his hand signals perfectly.
Nice.
Yeah. Wow.
Alright we have a caller. Hello caller, you're live and on the air. What's your name, where are you from?
Kendra.
Hello.
Wyoming.
From Wyoming.
Yep.
Wow. What's your name?
I'm curious on your thoughts since you're talking about the football.
Yeah.
If the game was rigged and like Manning got paid to lose the game because their play really sucked.
Now we got our talk about next week's show.
What happened was that the defense knew how to read Peyton Manning's hand signs. They read his hand signs. That's how they were just mopping his offense up. They read his hands. All of his Omaha 22 red left Charlie go. All that shit's nonsense. It's all his hand signs. He's saying whatever, but it's the hand signs. And they realized it's,
and
they read his hand signs.
There was conspiracy theories already going around saying that somebody was getting paid to suck at playing.
I don't doubt that either.
Well, the conspiracy theories going around say that the whole Broncos team was drugged and so they couldn't perform to their peak
capacity. That could be. I wouldn't put that either.
I wouldn't put that past anyone either.
They were all on steroids.
They'll play awesome throughout the season, and then as soon as they get to the Super Bowl, then they choke, like, pretty much every time.
It was horrible. Yeah. Was it a joke?
Was it a misplaced faith in Jesus that drugged
him? It was a joke.
It could have been that. He wasn't wearing his Lucky Charms, because they're always after me Lucky Charms. Hello?
Peyton Manning's not that good.
Well, he was good. He
he's
can
good at
be
setting
good.
Records. He's not good at, like,
he's
totally
a, he's
dominating.
A company member. He's a member of the company. He's one of the ones that make the game rigged. He's
right.
told when he can play well, when he can make his pass, when he can do what he's supposed to do, and then he was told when to fail.
Yes.
And he does that.
How can you have that skill set and do off for the whole season and then still get paid if you lose the biggest game?
Because he gets paid more
by that
off
star
the record.
By that star and played that bad. Close your eyes as you're passing the ball and all that. How do you still have sponsors?
You know, it could be. It could be.
Seems
it really
like a bigger
be.
Agenda than just the sponsors. The sponsors, yeah, they're not. They're just a perk to the big wigs that really pay the bills, that tell him, that really call the shots.
Was the Super Bowl rigged?
Yeah, was it or was it not? I don't know. Is every major league game rigged? Is every NFL game rigged? Is every season played out to ensnare people to watch it more, to gain ratings, to gain listeners, to gain watchers? Well, the sponsors are paid by the same people that pay the teams. So Wyoming, yeah, no. Get on the internet.
I don't play football, but I'm pretty sure I could a little bit better than
I'm pretty sure you could too. Actually, that was a pretty sorry performance.
That was
by
a
the
sorry,
Democrat.
Yeah. No, I
sorry.
Could make it way more soap operatic. It was not operatic.
I could have shown up and done better on offense than Denver.
Here's the thing. Okay, Wyoming, check out this book. It's called The Fix Is In. You can find it online. Just type it in. The Fix Is In. It's called The Fix Is In. It's a book about all sports in America being rigged and set up to pay the people that invest in those things.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, and also speaking of controversial things, what about that Coke commercial where they had all the different religions and stuff in there? What do you guys think of that?
I didn't like it.
I did. I really liked it. I thought it was...
Well,
trying to
I got into a Facebook argument.
It was
over.
Trying to get everyone in the whole world to drink Coke.
and sing America the Beautiful. Like, I don't like the song, I didn't like the commercial.
Well, I was watching with someone hearing impaired, so it was all captioned for me. It was all in English.
Oh, well,
Oh, well, shit.
I'm sorry, the professor was
you
having
get the
a
multicultural edition.
Yeah, well, America is a melting pot of all kinds of cultures. America is a hell of a market. If you pander to every little niche, yeah, every little niche is going to buy your product.
Exactly.
It's a simple marketing ploy, and well done on their end.
The sign language interpreter actually did read real sign language on Obama's little sign language interpreter.
Oh, that was awesome. Good story. Good.
Oh, the Mandela interpreter guy?
Yes. What a fucking idiot.
Yeah. He was having visions, he said, at the time.
That guy was a convicted... He'd been convicted for murder. He was a convicted murderer standing
really?
5 feet from Obongos. Yes.
Wow, right on.
Convicted for all sorts of crimes. Yeah, and he's 5 feet really? From these world leaders. Hey, what's up, bro?
He has a skill set. And they were exploiting him, really.
Yeah.
I feel bad for that guy.
He works $8 an hour. No benefits.
Like, he was so drugged up at the time, he didn't know what the hell he was doing.
That's a good... That was awesome.
You're breaking up, Wyoming. Thanks for the call, and we appreciate your points. Well spoken. Well spoken. Thank you. Thank you, Wyoming. Right on. Yeah, no, totally. The Super Bowl was probably rigged. Also, Mandela's interpreter was drugged up. Also,
I think he was in charge of the Super Bowl, is what it was. Mandela's interpreter was in charge of the Super Bowl.
I could very well be.
I think so.
Very well.
And we just solved it.
We're breaking stories left and right here.
We are. I'm just saying.
We are some cutting edge journalists here.
Somebody called us from Wyoming.
Yeah. Yeah, crazy, huh?
Wow.
Cool. Thank God for Wyoming. That's one of the last free states in the nation. Wyoming, except for they're really tough on weed. My friend down in Sheridan,
Wyoming. Of course they're tough on weed, because Colorado and Montana, they got to be tough on weed.
You know, there's normal is full and in effect in Wyoming. They're trying to make changes. I mean, they're going on this the 2014 ballot coming up in November in Wyoming. You can vote to make medical marijuana legal there. If that goes through, medical marijuana in Wyoming?
Well, what's scary is
that means they're ahead of their time. I mean, they're catching on to the new thing. Medical marijuana in general. If we could grow hemp in America. We're the only country in the world almost that doesn't grow hemp.
That's right.
Well, you know what's scary is...
And it's the best source for biofuel, better than corn, better than this algae stuff that they're working on. Hemp actually produces more oils that they can refine.
Well, just wait till we get the GMO weed. The GMO marijuana.
GMO hemp.
Monsanto marijuana. I can't wait. It's going to be great.
M&M, yo.
I got it.
Yeah. It's like, they're going to have like the 50
they're
cent.
They're going to cross spice with weed. Yeah, they're going to cross spice with weed. Yeah.
Lady Gaga fucking.
Spice.
Nasty.
They go,
here's a celebrity named fucking.
If you have, you know, if you can, Reagan did this for us. We can patent carbon.
I fucked Reagan.
Oh! Hey! So we can patent chromosomes certain to have right, you're loud, aren't you? So you can, if you have a certain gene pattern on your strain of marijuana, let's say, you can patent that and then maybe sell it to Walmart for them to sell to the masses, or to Marlboro, to Philip Morris,
Walmart weed, and that should be good.
You know what I'm saying?
We'll be back to the brown Mexican dirt in no time.
Yeah, the problem of our patent system.
New electronic cigarettes. Yeah, take the oil from the hemp.
I'm doing that already, bro. Doing that already.
I mean, no, we're not.
I mean, what? Hey, the cloud. I recommend the cloud. Technically, you know what I mean? It's a 710 revolution is what they say, right? If you don't know about 710, give us a call at 406-694-7150. It's the Intel Scanner. We're coming to a close here on the Intel Scanner. Coming up, I think we might play some music from
a
local Montana band that has... Several bands to choose from. We're going through the list now. What are we looking at there, sound guy?